Thank you for the season that we're about to go into, Christmas season. Thank you that we can get excited at celebrating who you are to us, Lord, and what you've done for us. But I pray that you would be glorified in Jesus.
Yes, Lord. Hallelujah.
So I'm going to get Christmasy tonight. Are you ready for Christmas?
Yes.
Okay. Anybody ready for Christmas?
What does that mean?
Oh, no, he isn't. Yes, he is. Oh, wasted. Wasted tonight. Ah, dang. Okay, so Matthew chapter 2. And I'm going to read a few verses and then we'll launch into it. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and we have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where Christ was to be born. So they said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, 'But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, in Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the young child. And when you have found him, bring back word to me, that I may come and worship him also." When they heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Then, being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way. Do you know that the Lord wants to be found?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
He wants to be found. Last week, Donnie was talking about, remember we talked about hide and seek and how the Lord likes to play hide and seek for him. I came running up to him after, because, you know, little squat that I am. That's true. He does play hide and seek, because in Proverbs 25, verse 2, it says, "It is the glory of God to conceal a matter, but the glory of kings is to search the matter out." So he hides something, but for the sole purpose of kings, of his children, finding it out.
Yes.
So he doesn't hide things from us, he hides things
for us. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord.
Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 29, it says, "But from there you will seek the Lord your God, and you will find him if you seek him with your whole heart and with all your soul." And in Isaiah 55, verse 6, it says, "Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near." You know that he is so near to us. I mean, you can't get much nearer than living inside you, really.
Amen.
There's not much closer. There's no closer. In fact, he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit. Like, that's the same spirit. Like, that is as close can be. That's all in one. So the first thing I want to pull out of the story is these kings, they took a really long journey. These wise men, they took a really long journey. I kind of like to imagine that there's like the three kings, there's one at the front, and he's all like, "Come on guys, let's go, we're off to the star." And then the next one's kind of like, "All right, let's go, we're off to the star." And the third one's like, "Are we nearly there yet?" Just because it makes for a fun story. But, you know, seeking and finding the Lord costs something. It costs something. These guys, they were leaving a place. place of comfort. They were leaving their homes. They were leaving potentially wives, children, relationships. They were leaving families. They were sacrificing this life at home to go on a journey that they didn't know how far it was going to take them. They didn't know where this star was going to stop. But they did know that there was a king to be honoured in the process. Like sometimes we've got part of a story, haven't we? We've got, this is where we're going, here's the star. But we have no idea how long it's going to take us to get there. We have no idea what the journey's going to be like on the way. So we need to count the cost. Is it worth me giving up all of this to follow something that I know has great potential, but I have no idea what it's going to look like when I get there? So, seeking the Lord costs us something. I know there's lots of people in this room that know that cost. Lots of folks have moved around the country to come here. So lots of people have, you know, given up potential jobs in different places to stay where the Lord's planted them. And you know what? We're going somewhere.
Yeah.
We're going somewhere. Second thing I want to pull out is that they're following the star. You know, who'd like to be a star? We get Cheryl wants to be a star, yeah?
Yeah, that's my name.
Esther's naming star, so Esther is a star. I'm not so secretly quite like a star. Maybe not all the palaver of, you know, the paparazzi and this and that, because, you know, some people just can't handle this, but there we go. No, but you know what? Jesus is the star. Jesus came as light of the world. But what did he say about us? He said that
you're the
light of the world. In Matthew chapter 5, which is only a couple of chapters later, but a lot happened in three chapters. And it says in verse 14, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. And it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. You know, we're not lights for our sake.
No.
We're not naming lights and it's all about me. No, we're lights to show people the way. Mm. To show folks the way to Jesus. To say, here he is! And to bring them on this journey to know him. Who is the light of the world? Who is the light to all men? So I like to think that this star has been moving and they're following along and it kind of starts hovering around Jerusalem area. Now, how many of you can look at the stars, like look into the sky and work out exactly where that star is over the top? But, you know what I'm saying? You look at the stars and you're like, oh, that's such and such a constellation, and that's that, and that's the North Star. But at what point are you directly underneath any of these? So this star is kind of floating around, you know, exactly where it needs to be. It's not an aimless star, a wandering star. It's exactly where it needs to be. But it's not very clear, is it? So what does the Lord do for these guys? He gives them instruction. The interesting thing is, he gives them instruction, not through, you know, divine inspiration, but through people. Like, they go, the king finds them, pulls them in. The king is kind of anti-Messiah, anti-another king in his area at that time, because, you know, you don't want anybody else raining on your parade, really. I haven't got many more cracker jokes.
No more funny stuff.
I thought Annie was going to be the one giving us trouble tonight. So they've got the instructions, but they haven't got the direction. So the king calls the priests and the scribes and he's like, okay, so where's this king going to be born? So they pull out the scripture and go, all right, it's Bethlehem. You know, they have the word, but they don't have the revelation.
Yep.
They have the word, but they don't have the understanding. They've got the direction there, but haven't got the unction to do anything about it. So you can have very little of the word, like these guys are wise men,
yep.
and know Jesus and seek Jesus. But you can have a lot of the word and ignore him completely.
Mm-hmm.
Or actually set yourselves up against it. Your heart's attitude determines what you fight.
Amen. Yes. Hallelujah.
So Herod responds, find him for me so I can worship too.
Mm.
You know, Herod, we know that he had a completely different agenda. He wanted this guy wiped off the face of the planet.
Mm.
Sincere worship responds in action to the word. If Herod had been sincere, it would have been, jump up straight away, let's go find this young child so I can worship him. Just like the wise men, they jumped up as soon as they saw the star and realised, actually that means there's a king. And despite not having all the facts, despite not having all the instruction, they went for it. Worship responds to the word.
Mm-hmm.
Worship goes after Jesus.
Amen.
Despite not having everything worked out.
That's right.
So the kings, they find Jesus in the stable, maybe. It might have been a few years later. Possibly a couple of years later. So a toddler then turns up at the family home and knock, knock, knock. We want to worship your son. We want to worship the child. Now, if that isn't enormity enough, these three men are just strangers, have just travelled across the world, but they know that it's a mission from God. They know that it's to give reverence to a king who's going to be saviour to the world.
Mm.
I saw a great monologue of a comedian once, and he was playing the part of Joseph, and Joseph is there getting frustrated because the shepherds are coming in and bringing the smelly sheep all through the place. And then all these rackets going on with these angels singing away. And then these three guys who he has no idea who he is and, you know, wondering where Mary's got their names from, turn up. And they've got a big box of myrrh and a big box of frankincense and some gold. And he's like, well, a rattle has sufficed. So the wise men, they worshipped him with all of their treasure. They laid everything bare in front of him. Everything they had taken with them, they had taken and laid at his feet. You know, our treasure is only useful when it's submitted to the king. What our talents are only useful when they're given to Jesus. We might be the most talented speaker, painter, mathematician, but those things are good. They might give us some level of success in the world, but actually, when they're put to kingdom use, how much greater is that?
Mm-hmm.
These guys, they didn't come as spectators. They didn't come just to say, oh, look, that's a cute wee baby. Isn't that nice? He's going to be king one day. They came and they gave. They didn't come just to, you know, because that's the thing that they ought to do. They came and they were a part of something bigger. They had an active part in setting up that family to be prosperous in a time that was going to be difficult for them, because right after this we know that the family have to flee to Egypt. So they've got gold, so they're set up financially. They've got myrrh and frankincense, also extremely expensive commodities. And that's then sorted until they can come back from Egypt. You know, we don't know how much we affect what's going on when we either withhold what we have or give what we have. If I'm withholding, then I'm potentially robbing the body of what's going to be a key for breakthrough, what's going to be a turnaround for a situation, what's going to be instrumental in seeing God's glory being manifest in different areas. Like, when we get together as a church, you know, Paul talks about somebody having a psalm, somebody having a song, somebody bringing this, somebody bringing that. Mm. And that's God's design, because he knows we can't do this by ourselves.
Amen.
He knows that my finding Jesus and knowing what's going on for me isn't about me. You know, I can get my knickers in a twist because what's God's plan for my life? And who's been there? And pretty much every teenager in the church has been there. Every 20-something in the church has been there. And the way past there, probably, I'm still 20-something, just so you know. Not for too much longer. But it's irrelevant to actually being a part of a body, being a part of what God is doing. So, the question tonight is, are we going to be wise men? Because wise men seek Jesus. Wise men seek Jesus not for what they can get, but because of who he is. They seek Jesus for what they can throw at his feet and give him. And they say, over to you. God wants to be found. Our Father wants to be found. And sometimes the only reason it feels like he's hiding is because he's trying to develop some kingship in us. Yes. He's trying to get us into a reigning mood.
Yes, amen.
So that we actually start decreeing and declaring what he says. So that we know what our rights are as heirs and co-heirs. Because we do have rights. We also have the right to lay down our rights. But, you know, if his word says, I'm healed, which it does,
yes.
Then I know it's my right as a daughter of a king not to have any sickness.
Amen.
That's
my absolute right.
So if I'm still sick and it doesn't look like my healing is coming, what if the Lord's just waiting for you to step it up a little bit? To say, hold on, no. Because ask, seek, knock. Who are you asking? You're asking the Lord.
Yes.
You're seeking the Lord. And then I like to think, you're not knocking his door down, but you're knocking the door down that somebody else has put up in your way. Because there seems to be barriers at times. There seems to be like, why isn't anything moving forward? Sometimes it's just waiting for a kick in. It's just waiting for us to take some of that authority you've been given and say, actually, no way. Smash the door in. I'm getting it. The kingdom of heaven suffers silence,
Amen.
And the violent take it by force. Barbara, I thank you. I thank you tonight for the privilege of being the daughter of a king.
Jesus.
Barbara, I thank you that in this Christmas season, Lord, that we can expect you to come through on every promise. Because of that child, because of Jesus, because of what he did at the cross.
Yes.
And Lord, we can expect to have what we say. Lord, I thank you that we can give you our gifts. Lord, we want to gift ourselves to you this Christmas time. We want to give ourselves as a gift so that you would work through us and that your kingdom would be established, Lord. Lord, I thank you that we are the light of the world, that you've set us up to be your signs and wonders.
Hallelujah.
So, Father, I thank you that you want to be found. So, Father, I pray that you help us to be signposts, that you help us to be those flashing lights that say, Jesus is here. Father, we thank you for it in Jesus' precious name, and pray that you get every single bit of the glory that you deserve. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.